Alva Withrop, I know you're out here. Just come in before the monkeys spot you.
The girls and I finally went to see Wicked Forever. And I know last year we saw the first part of Wicked, which was absolutely amazing. This one, not so much. But there were some good things in there that I do want to touch on. I'm not going to waste the time trying to do the New Year's Eve party. I did that last year, and I did bring in the New Year with my brother Shelton, which was very nice. And we came together and talked about some things. But overall, I just kind of noticed a decline in a lot of the membership. So at this point, not going to worry about the New Year's Eve. Bring that in on my own spirits. However, I do want to discuss Wicked Forever because there are some good things in there. Even though I wouldn't waste time or money going to see it, I would just wait till it comes out on tape or on regular television. But there are some good things in there. So for those of you who are spiritual minded, there's some lessons that we all can learn. The first thing that I noticed within this movie is that the witch Alphaba kept trying to save everyone in Oz.
There's no going back. This is between us, the wizard and I.
And of course, no one listened to her because they demonized her and told everybody that she was the wicked witch. So once people have been stigmatized and everybody thinks that they're evil, even if they're trying to do the right thing, nobody's going to listen to you. So you're wasting your time trying to save people. And this is one thing that the spirit has been kind of telling me for quite some time. And I just really didn't listen, similar to Alphaba, because I wanted people to know the truth. Well, in the movie, as it went on, the wizard literally told her, you can tell them all you want. You can tell them that I'm fake, that this is just a charade. But guess what? Nobody's going to listen to you. Why? Because they want to believe in me.
The wonderful Wizard of Oz. No one believed in you more than I did.
And it's the same thing today. You can tell people till you're blue in the face that Jesus never existed. The Bible is fake. It's something that they put together to control the masses. All these world religions are all fake and they lead absolutely nowhere. And nobody's going to listen to you. Why? Because just like he told her, people want to believe. And because they want to believe, you can show them all the evidence in the world and they're just going to keep right on calling on Jesus. They're going to keep right on going to church. They're going to keep right on doing whatever they want to do because they want to believe in this mess.
The most effective psychological control mechanism ever created is the Christian doctrine of hell. I was about 7 years old the first time I heard in church what hell was supposed to be. Eternal fire, burning forever, screaming in agony with no escape, no end, no relief. And I remember lying in bed that night absolutely terrified. I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking, how could God do that to people? How could a loving God torture anyone forever? But here's where it gets really insidious, because right after they terrify you with hell, then the church gives you the solution. But Jesus died for your sins, and if you just believe this, you won't go there. The Bible has all the answers. Just follow what it says and you'll be saved. And let me tell you, I grabbed onto that like a drowning man would grab onto a life raft, because what choice did I have? The alternative was too horrifying to even consider. That's not free will, that's a trauma bond. It's when fear keeps you attached to the very thing that's causing you harm. And Christianity, institutional Christianity, has perfected this. For decades, I couldn't question the Bible. Every time a doubt would creep in, every time something didn't make sense, that childhood terror would come flooding back. Well, what if you're wrong? What if questioning this leads you to hell? That fear kept me locked in a mental prison. I read my Bible cover to cover more than 20 times in my life, I would say. I did everything right. I prayed, I had my quiet time every morning, I believed with all my heart, but I was anxious, depressed, insecure. That's what a trauma bond does. It keeps you trapped while telling you you're free. It took me decades to finally break free and realize something crucial. The doctrine of eternal conscious torment in hell was a doctrine developed by the church as a way to control people through fear.
So it's no need in you wasting your energy or your time in a bunch of people who just want to believe in a fairy tale. It's not real. However, it's real to them. So let them just go and do whatever they want to do. And he told him, he said, at this point, your only option is to join me. If you don't join me, you're just basically going to be an outcast because everybody's calling you a witch.
Elphaba, they're coming for you.
I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason.
And they're all saying that you're evil. And even though she was trying to save nature and she was trying to help the animals and she was trying to do all this positive stuff, nothing that she did ever worked because everybody thought she was the wicked witch. And just like they do with Satan and the devil and all this other stuff, it's the same thing that we're living in today. You can have the keys to people's freedom. You can know how to help them get money, how to get wealth, how to live a better life, how to be happy. But they're not going to listen to you because in their mind, you are the devil. And they've programmed them to think that when the devil says something, you don't listen to the devil. So you're wasting your energy. And eventually, Elphaba realized this within the movie. And in the end, she ended up just going off by herself, which is what we all need to do. Those of us who have spiritual wisdom and knowledge. Now, she spent a lot of her time, again, trying to save these animals. Because what happened was the wizard, they basically were starting to turn on all of the animals who lived beside them for thousands of years, hundreds of years in peace, and started saying that they were less than, and they were this, and they were that, and they wanted to basically make them second-class citizens, and they couldn't get any rights, and they couldn't do anything because they were of an animal class. And so the animals decided, look, we're not going to sit here and be put down and treated poorly. We're just going to leave. So they started going into this underground and they were escaping Oz. Sounds similar to the Underground Railroad, right? I think that's pretty much where they got this from. But anyway, Elphaba found them all trying to leave and she was trying to encourage them to stay, telling them that Oz was their land too and that they had a right to be there. And at first, some of the animals were going to listen to her, but then of course, there's always one hater. One old coon in the bunch that turns everybody against her, which was the cowardly lion. For whatever reason, the lion just didn't like Elphaba. I honestly don't remember what she did in part one to make him flip, but he flipped and he turned everybody else against old Elphaba. So they all continued to try to leave Oz, which honestly, to tell you the truth, I kind of agree with the animals. I would not stay in a place that I'm just not wanted. I notice a lot of people today are starting to leave the United States.
This is not a political post, but you know how people are always saying, if you don't like it, then you can leave? Well, people are, and in rapidly increasing numbers. As you can see, this article reports that there's been a 102% increase in people who have elected for the expat lifestyle, meaning people who are leaving America to go reside in different countries. And the article goes on to cite a few key reasons for this. The main elements being socioeconomic factors that make it difficult and more expensive to live on a daily basis, gun violence and the lack of action to reduce it, and as expected, the increasing political polarization that exists within America. And it's important to note that other countries throughout the world are taking notice of this escalating trend, and they're putting together programs to recruit American professionals to their countries, likely to increase their GDP. I think this will be an interesting trend to monitor and see how it changes over the next few years, especially as this becomes a more realistic lifestyle choice.
Many of them are saying they're tired of these high taxes. They're tired of having to work 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet. They're tired of not being able just to go to birthday parties, go to movies without a shooting occurring. They're tired of the racism. They're tired of all this stuff. And so they're looking at other countries that are cheaper, that are less expensive, that have more opportunities for people, a place where you can be safe, and they're dipping. And honestly, I agree with them 100%. Don't stay in a place where you're going to be treated like a second-class citizen. They're not going to give you an equal chance. They're going to underpay you, overwork you, treat you like trash. Just get out of there.
Like a seed drop by the sky, burn.
other. I thought you changed.
I have changed.
Now, this is where the movie to me just went left. All of a sudden, the prince falls in love with Alpha.
What?
Which I don't even know how that happened. And then the two of them run off. They spend a night together. And then the witch goes fighting Glinda. They start fighting over a man, which that was complete and utter programming, ladies. They always have to put this in the movies to make us fight one another instead of uniting together and working together. They'll put a man in the middle, and next thing you know, you can't get anything done because you're fighting over a man. Definitely don't fall for that one. I was so happy the other day I heard where a lot of these young girls are saying they don't even want to be married anymore.
Forget the fairy tale. America's teen girls are not buying the marriage dream. New Pew Research shows only 61% of 12th grade girls expect to marry somebody. That's a sharp drop from 83% in 1993. And for the first time, more boys than girls see marriage in their future, 74% of them. Experts say fewer fairy tale movies and a bigger emphasis on education, success, and independence are shifting what happily ever after means. The survey also shows a decline in expected parenthood, with only 48% of teens thinking they'll likely have children, down from 64% in 1993.
Many of them are not even thinking about being married. They just want to be single and be free. And I'm 100% for that. I wish we would have had that back when I was coming up. My life would have been completely different than it is today.
For both of us.
To fly!
Because I knew you.
You're the only friend I ever had.
However, as the movie went on, eventually the witch realized that these people are never going to accept her. They're going to always treat her as an outcast. They're not going to listen to anything she has to say. So what she did was she faked her death and she died to herself. Basically, that's what happened. And that's when they labeled her Wicked Forever. So while all the townspeople were celebrating the death of the Wicked Witch, she was actually escaping and leaving Oz with the prince and went on with her life to live her life, which I'm sure in the long run, she had a much happier existence, leaving a place that's been treating her like trash and just putting her down for so long. The reason why the prince supposedly fell in love with her was because he knew who she really was. And even though everyone else was calling her ugly, they were putting her down, they were laughing at her, they wanted her dead. It just kind of like infuriated him because he knew that she was a good person. He knew that she had a good heart, and he knew that she really cared about everybody, including the animals. That's the reason why he chose to go with her instead of stay with Glinda, the good witch, because Glinda was fake. Glinda had no power. Everything she used was nothing but technology, which sounds just like what we're living in today, where you have mankind and he has no real power. But what he's doing is he's using technology and trickology in order to stay on top and have everybody worshiping him. So basically, for those of you who are spiritual minded, what I gained from this movie is that you need to focus on yourself. Take all the knowledge that you have, all the wisdom that you have, instead of wasting all that energy and time on a bunch of people who are under complete and utter mind control. They will never wake up. Probably not in this lifetime or the next. It's better for you to take that energy and focus on yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. Since I left my husband, I've been doing a lot of stuff on my own. Going within, spending time at my altar, listening to the spirits, doing my meditation, working with the energies, doing all the things that the spirit has told me to do. And because of my obedience to the spirit, my life has improved by 200%. You know, everything that I've dreamed of, that I wanted, that I've tried to manifest has all been coming because I have nobody here fighting against me. I'm not wasting time on people who are not really interested in what I'm teaching, who are too busy trying to push their own agendas, who are trying to demonize me and turn other people against me. I've cut all these weirdos out of my life, so I'm able to go straight to spirit without any resistance. That's what you're going to need to start doing. You're going to have to begin to develop your own spiritual walk one-on-one with the ancestral energies, with your spirit guides. And that's how you're going to be able to live the life of your dreams. And all of a sudden, all the adversity is going to disappear. All those things are going to fade away. because it's all consciousness. When you're sitting around and you're putting all this energy into people who do not agree with anything that you're saying. Like, I got people who literally follow the podcast. They tune into every episode and they're Christians. They don't believe anything that I'm teaching, but it's almost like those types of spirits, they just want to know, like inquiring minds just want to know what we're talking about, what we're doing, what's going on, even though they don't believe in anything. Those types of people are basically there to stop you, like a buffer to keep you from reaching your spiritual goals, which is why it's important that you begin to do a lot of things behind closed doors. Go into your secret closet and then you will be rewarded in the open. So then all of a sudden, when they notice that you're getting all these things and you're going on trips and you're doing stuff that they could never even afford to do, it becomes blatantly clear that obviously you've tapped into something that they haven't tapped into. And when you incarnate in this world, you're supposed to have a positive life experience. You're not supposed to be sad and miserable and depressed and woe is me and crying yourself to sleep. That should not be going on, especially not if you're truly a spiritual person.
So here are five more religious indoctrination tactics that harm children. And remember, this is not about attacking faith. It's about calling out systems that use fear, shame, and control on minds that can't defend themselves. Number one, blind faith over evidence. Kids are taught that faith is superior to facts, that science is suspicious, and that evidence is dangerous if it contradicts doctrine. This creates adults who distrust medicine, reject basic scientific consensus, and fear anything that challenges their belief system. Number two, original sin programming. Telling a child that they are born sinful, broken, or inherently bad rewires their entire sense of worth. They learn guilt before they even learn language, and they begin life already believing that they deserve punishment, not love. Number three, identity replacement. Kids are taught that their entire identity, their value, future, morality, and community hinges on a single belief system. Leaving the religion then feels like losing yourself, your family, and your purpose all at once. That is psychological captivity, not spiritual development. Number four, authority equals morality. Children are taught that obedience is morality, that whatever a pastor, parent, or scripture says must be right, even if it contradicts empathy or logic. This conditions children to ignore their intuition and outsource their conscience to authority figures. And number five, apocalyptic conditioning. Teaching kids that the world is ending soon or that suffering is part of God's design can create deep anxiety and hopelessness. Why care about the future if you've been told there won't be one? Many ex-believers say that this robbed them of childhood joy and long-term dreams. Children shouldn't grow up afraid of themselves, the world, or their own questions. Healthy spirituality empowers, it doesn't program.
Spiritual people should have the best life. You should be living an abundant life. You should not have to worry about how you're going to pay your bills, how you're going to feed yourself, where you're going to live, because you should have so much positive energy around you, within you, working for you. Even when you're asleep, they're there. They're working for you. That's how you're supposed to live your life. They trick everybody on the planet in order to colonize it and to steal all of your power away. So they gave you a bunch of fake stuff to keep you sad and depressed and miserable. So basically, you just never reach your goals. You were born ignorant. You die ignorant. You come in knowing nothing. You leave knowing nothing. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be learning. You're supposed to be growing. You're supposed to be taking the information and using it for yourself to have an abundant life. That's the reason why you incarnated. Your soul wanted to experience life. and it's supposed to have an abundant life. So again, in my personal opinion, I didn't like part two. Part one was absolutely amazing. If you did not hear the podcast of the first interpretation of part one for Wicked, it is in our exclusive content. You can go to the website. I'll put a link in the description box below. And then you can actually listen to that one. I think it was a little over an hour decode that I did on that first one. It was absolutely amazing. This one, again, theatrically, I think that they rushed it. I think they should have took more time, gave it a little bit more substance. But again, there's some nuggets in there that you can definitely pull from for your own individual spiritual walk. Focus on yourself. As we go into 2026, don't worry about trying to be all out there for the public, trying to grow a big old ministry or trying to have a big membership club. Trust me, it's a waste of your energy. Take all of that energy and focus on yourself. Begin to manifest your dreams, your life, and then you're going to see a huge shift in your reality as you start to focus on yourself.
The best radio station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here. Right now.
The Golden Race. Conscious radio for the conscious community.
Have you ever felt her? A whisper in the moonlight. A pull towards an ancient power that feels like remembering. For centuries she has been calling. Isis, the Egyptian magical queen, goddess of 10,000 names. She wasn't just worshipped, she was worked with. But how do you answer that call? You don't need another book. You don't need any more theories. You need a ritual. Introducing the Isis Ritual Boot Camp, a 4-week immersive journey for the modern woman to awaken her inner priestess. This is your path from seeking to embodying. In just 4 weeks, you will build your unshakable sanctuary, mastering the art of the ritual circle. Find the voice of power, learning the invocations to command spiritual forces. Wield the magic of Heka, crafting a healing amulet and a manifestation cord with your own hands. And claim your sovereignty. Step into your life as the embodied queen, wearing your spiritual authority like a crown. This is a hands-on, practical magic, the end of longing and the beginning of true power. I have created a sacred container for you to learn, practice, and rise within a supportive sisterhood. You will receive live teachings, downloadable guides, and a community of like-hearted women. The boot camp begins January the 4th, 2026. For a limited time, enroll as an early bird price for only $99. You heard me right, $99 early bird registration. Are you ready to remember who you are? Are you ready to stop reading about magic and start living it? Click the link in the description box below. Hurry, because space is limited and her throne awaits.